two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, Cougar fans, and welcome into another edition of Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. It's Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper coming to you on a very somber Saturday afternoon, Mitch.
Yeah, it's been a tough week for college football and for BYU football fans in particular, but we're going to break it all down here on the program, and we're not slowing down here on Cougar Sports Saturday as we talk about the conference-only landscape that's taking shape in college football in 2020. To discuss that, we'll have coming up at 12:35 Dave McCann of KSL 5 TV. He'll be hopping on to share his thoughts on the BYU perspective. And then we get a national look from Brett McMurphy coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. And then we'll also continue our position previews. We're not giving up on the football season yet, Matt.
That's right.
We're not giving up yet, so we're going to continue with the position previews as we look at the cornerback position with cornerback coach Jarnell Guilford and also senior DB Chris Wilcox. So it's a jam-packed show as always, but this news with the Big Ten and Pac-12 going to conference-only schedule is where we got to start things off.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Mitch mentioned it in the preview there for the show, but the college football landscape is drastically different today than it was back on July 4th, where I think we all still felt like there was a good chance we were going to get the college football season we were all expecting. But then the Ivy League made their announcement, and then shortly after that, you had the Big Ten announcing it was conference only. Of course, that affects BYU, Mitch, with the loss of Michigan State coming to Provo and BYU going to Minnesota. And then a day later, which was yesterday, late afternoon, that the Pac-12 is going to follow the example set by the Big Ten, and they're doing conference only as well. So there goes the rivalry game. There goes Arizona State, and there goes Stanford. And so in the blink of an eye, Mitch, five of BYU's 12 games have been canceled for the 2020 football season.
And five games against Power 5 teams. Yeah. And I put this out on my Twitter account, at Mitch_Harper. You can follow us at KSL Sports, at Biamonte Matt, and get at us at the UCCU KSL text line at 57500. You know, you look at how long it takes to put these schedules together. The Stanford game that got canceled yesterday, it was scheduled back in 2013. We wait years for these games to happen, and in a matter of hours, they're gone in an instant. It's a tough deal. And BYU being left with now seven games, and you go, what's next? What's going to happen for BYU football? Can they actually play a season? Honestly, Matt, I mean, I think that, you know, this is a situation where I don't think these leagues are completely out of the woods yet. I mean,
no.
For them to make this decision right now, I was a little bit surprising, one. But two, I think that, you know, going to these conference-only schedules, I just don't know how this makes things suddenly safer. I mean, I can understand you want to put everything together as a conference and you want to have standard protocols for each league and have that flexibility, but still, the coronavirus is going to be there, whether it's conference play, whether it's non-conference play, it's going to be there. And you can't tell me that BYU would not have followed the protocols set by the Pac-12, set by the Big Ten or the Big 12, whatever it may be. They would follow it. And it's just that for this to happen, it just feels like it was a little bit premature potentially, and there could have been some more negotiating and some more time to kind of see it out.
Yeah, I had two main thoughts, and very similar to what you had, Mitch. Number one, I think I was disappointed, really disappointed for BYU athletes and BYU fans, because this was when BYU announced independence. You know, there were those big names initially, Notre Dame and Texas, but then you were like, we want a full schedule that's not just September loaded. Well, 2020 was going to be that year, Mitch, where you had interesting games in September, October, and November. Going to Stanford in November, you had Missouri coming here. And that could still happen in October, but you had a really nice schedule that was well-balanced. And so I'm just disappointed because it was going to be such an interesting football schedule with an interesting football team that has experience, and maybe they could have done something special, and now we'll never know. But secondly, I think one of my biggest feeling, Mitch, was just stunned that this decision was made now, because I'm with you, I think it was premature, and stunned because it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up. I'm with you. BYU would have followed those protocols. But secondly, as you mentioned, the coronavirus, it's a world issue. And a lot of these conferences, you look at the Big Ten, they span, what, half the country? I mean, you can go from Nebraska to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And what could be happening in Nebraska is so different than what could be happening in New Jersey and vice versa. And so I just don't see how, you know, use the Pac-12 as an example. Is it going to be safe for Utah to go, you know, to the state of Washington or to Southern California? I don't know. And so staying within the conference, to me, I just don't really see the entire picture of how that's safer for student athletes.
You can share your thoughts again at the KSL text line 57500. Get text us here. And as we're talking about conference-only landscape in college football for the 2020 season, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 moving to a conference-only schedule. And that means BYU and Utah is no more. So we've been counting down this offseason to September 3rd, Matt. And now the next scheduled BYU football game is October 2nd. The first month of games is now gone. It's completely out the door. The next BYU football game that's scheduled is against in-state foe Utah State, and that's now 83 days away. That's a far more depressing than where we were a couple days ago, where it felt like we were less than 60 days till kickoff. Now, BYU does have their media day coming up on July 20th, and that's going to probably paint the picture a little bit more as to what potentially could be a season for BYU football. But now it's kind of a situation, Matt, where BYU, I think they kind of understood that this was a possibility. I don't think they were completely blindsided like many on social media or vocal minorities are saying on social media that BYU was blindsided. No, I don't think that was the case at all, but I think that it's just difficult that if all these leagues potentially go to the conference-only model, how can BYU seriously put together a schedule? It's just very difficult.
Yeah, and blindsided, I would agree that BYU wasn't blindsided. I cannot wrap my head around how this makes sense, Mitch. I think back to previous seasons where weather got in the way and games were canceled or games were rescheduled, and to me it just felt like, one, let's see what happens the rest of July, but two, why couldn't all of these teams take a week-by-week approach, and if the testing wasn't in place for a particular opponent, then don't play that game, you know, because I think it's understood throughout all of sports in 2020. Nothing is normal. Nothing is like we expect it to be. And with that being understood, that's okay if games are canceled due to the coronavirus. That's the nature of the beast. And so it's frustrating for not only BYU, but for college football as a whole, because it's hard to honestly, Mitch, at this point, it's hard to even see if this domino is happening in early July. It feels like we're not going to have football. Honestly, that's how it feels.
Well, and everything in our society has become political. And, you know, this is a topic, the COVID-19, that's a very political discussion. And, you know, for these athletic departments and universities, They might not want to face the PR backlash potentially of putting unpaid athletes out onto the field to play amid the discussion of name, image, likeness, which may potentially compensates players. They don't want the risk of maybe a COVID-19 outbreak on a team that's unpaid athletes, and they're ultimately playing these games to cash in billion-dollar checks from TV right. networks, and those players don't see it. I don't know if that's the reasoning, but I think the PR battle plays a role in this. I think that some of these schools are worried about that. Now, I think another issue, too, with college football is that you just do not have any leader of this organization. The NCAA has just kind of sat back and just put their feet up and said, let the conferences run it. And this has highlighted the issue with college football, that you have no leadership. All these different conferences are doing their own thing. Like some of the SEC and Big 12, they've been vocal that they're not making any decisions yet. And they
ACC
were
as well.
They were blindsided by the Big Ten suddenly saying, we're going to conference only. And I think that it's just this sport is so messed up. It's so disjointed.
Yes, it's broken.
And you just, if you're a BYU fan today, you're going, how does BYU kind of rectify this situation? It ends up being a good thing for BYU. Because I know Cougar fans out there, we talk to a lot of BYU fans, and it's like they're all feeling kind of down and out. Like, when's this going to just continue to hurt BYU? And how's BYU going to get left behind on this season? I think, you know, some Cougar fans are probably hoping that the season just gets canceled, because then, then no one has to play. Because the worst thing would be everyone's playing conference only, and BYU is left with no season.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point about the NCAA. Not only have they not said anything, even if they did, Mitch, I don't think the Power Five conferences would care. I think they would still end up doing their own thing, which highlights a massive issue in college football, and that there's not really a governing body that can bring everyone together and focus on a common goal, which is a huge issue when you're facing something like this and you're facing the future of college. I mean, how does it make sense, Mitch, that there's Power Five conferences that have 10 teams and Power Five teams that have 14 teams? There's a Power Five conference that has games in the Midwest and on the East Coast. I mean, everything is, like you said, it's messed up and it's broken in college football right now. And we're seeing that play out as each conference tries to navigate their own way in this pandemic.
We're going to get some feedback from you guys. Chime in on our KSL Sports poll. We want your feedback, the question of the day on the program this afternoon. We're going all the way up to 3 o'clock today, live talking BYU football. What is the most likely outcome for the upcoming football season? Is it some scheduling help from some conferences, or is it a canceled season? We'll share the results of what you guys are saying right now, coming up on the other side here on Cougar Sports Saturday, and it's always powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. It's Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper here. 12:19, coming live from Mitch's house and broadcast house here in downtown Salt Lake City. We're talking about the kind of crazy news of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten announcing conference only in college football. Text us 57500. You can tweet us as well. KSL Sports, Mitch underscore Harper and Biamonte Matt. A couple texts coming in. Mitch, we'll start with a texter 1138 saying, if games are canceled, the canceling party needs to pony up and pay the buyout fee in advance. This is not an act of God. Short of the entire college football season being canceled, it is simply a decision of individual conferences and men. Do you think anyone's going to pony up these cancel fees? Because I mean, there are dozens upon dozens of games canceled right now.
Yeah, that's a fascinating discussion, because honestly, I mean, I put in requests to get all these game contracts from these state ran universities, and because I want to look at the fine print on all this and kind of figure it out, because it feels like BYU should be owed some games. I mean, you wait 7 years, upwards of 7 years for a game to be played, and then in a matter of hours, it's gone by the wayside, and BYU's left behind with no one helping them out. It's like BYU always fills dates for the Pac-12, does what they want. They're willing to scratch their back whenever they need assistance. They'll do two-for-ones. They'll do one-offs. And then it's like they're just going to get left high and dry. It's frustrating, for BYU, because all these leagues want to pair up with BYU to an extent, like do a game here and there, but they never want to formally, you know, help out BYU at all.
They're friends with benefits, but they're not. They're not in a relationship.
I wasn't going to go there, but hey, yes, I agree though, Matt. It's true, because it's like BYU's got a great brand. It's a great product. Yet ultimately, for whatever reason, they don't ever get attached to any sort of power league. They just don't want to fully be married to BYU sports. It gets frustrating.
Yes.
Because I do feel like BYU should get some sort of buyout. And there's been reports out there from, you know, these group of five ADs, anonymous ADs, talking to national reporters saying, are we going to go to court for some of these payouts? Because that is a huge thing for these non-Power 5 programs to get those payouts from those games against P5 teams.
Yeah, you look at a team like – I've been poring through the schedules of all the Pac-12 and Big Ten teams, and, you know, the Western Kentuckys, like those teams pop up quite often. They depend on that check to operate that athletic department. If that doesn't happen, there's no way they can play any other sports. There's just no way. I think I'm with this texter where the canceling party needs to pony up and pay those buyout fees.
Yeah.
Because I think that those games, there's a world in which you could safely play those games. Now, it would be case by case, but I think some of those games could have been played in the current situation we're in.
The question we got on our KSL Sports Twitter feed today, and you can also text us your response at the KSL UCCU text line at 57500. What is the most likely outcome for the upcoming 2020 football season? Is it the Big 12 and SEC schedule BYU and lend BYU some help? Maybe the Mountain West Conference gives BYU some help. Does BYU play all the independents, or is the season just canceled? 51% of you saying a canceled season. What say you, Matt?
Oh, okay. Well, let me preface this by saying the data is changing by the week and even by the day. And so what I say today could very well be obsolete in a couple weeks, and I hope it is. But based on right now, I think it's going to be a canceled season. I don't think anyone's playing football, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm going to say Mountain West schedules BYU. I think that Mountain West...
That's a nice consolation, honestly.
I think that because what we were just talking about, Matt, the group of five programs need... football, everyone in college football needs this football season to be played because it carries every athletic department. You saw earlier this week Stanford announced 11 athletic programs are being cut.
Yep.
And that's Stanford, one of the benchmarks, the gold standards of college athletics.
Right.
They're cutting athletic teams. So if it's happening there, it's probably going to happen.
Good teams, too. Men's volleyball.
Exactly. But I think the Mountain West Conference is, I don't know if it's going to be a full round robin where all the Mountain West teams are playing BYU, but I think that the Boise States, the Utah States, the San Diego States that already have BYU on the schedule, I think those games can be played. And I think that they want to have those games played. And I think they're going to make that happen because regionally it makes sense.
Yes.
And BYU is more than willing to uphold to any sort of protocols that any conference is going to put into place. Like, BYU is a willing party. You know, that's the thing, is that BYU, they value relationships. That's the biggest thing with BYU. And their athletic department, they'll tell you they value relationships. And on BYU's end with the Mountain West Conference, they just put it out there that there's no thawing, there's no issue with the Mountain West. Now, I think the Mountain West still has some, you know, bitter feelings towards BYU.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately the goal has got to be now just get a season off the ground, whether that's 8 games, 6 games, 10 games. Let's make it happen, and let's make this thing work. And a lot of Mountain West teams were impacted greatly by the Pac-12 Conference with 13 Mountain West games gone against Pac-12 teams. So BYU can step right in and maybe help out those teams. And I think it can work out nicely. So I'm going to be optimistic here, Matt, and think that the Mountain West Conference and BYU work out some deals to make some games happen.
Another text coming in, Texas 57500 on the KSL text line. Here's the text, Mitch, and I'll give you my thoughts, and I'm curious what yours are. But why is it safe for the Pac-12 to play conference games but not non-conference games? I have wondered that myself. And it doesn't make a lot of sense in some cases. And like the obvious case here is the rivalry game, right? That one, to me, doesn't make any sense because they're so close. They're battling the same issues in terms of the coronavirus. If football can be played, that game should be played. That's what makes sense to me. Now, there's some other cases where maybe it doesn't quite make sense for Cal to travel to Texas Tech. I understand that. But this blanket policy, there are some games where I'm like, I don't really understand why it's okay for Utah, for instance, to maybe travel to Seattle. That's safe, but it's not okay to have BYU to come to Provo. So the safe thing doesn't quite make sense to me with this conference-only situation from the Pac-12.
Yeah, it doesn't with me either. I think the angle that these conferences are trying to spin and put this out there is that they want to have uniform testing protocols within the league and have the flexibility to maybe if a team or multiple teams have an outbreak of COVID-19 cases, that they have the flexibility to maybe cancel a week of games and flex them out to another week and have that flexibility to make that happen if it's a 9 or 10 game schedule, only conference only. So I think that's kind of the agenda why these leagues are doing it, because yeah, if it's just simply safety and travel, it makes no sense at all.
Nothing.
Especially with BYU not being another conference, and they'll play and adhere to the protocols that you're going to adhere to. That makes no sense at all. But I think that's kind of the reasoning behind it, is that these leagues just want the autonomy over their own product this year and really not have to pay out other money to other leagues and pay out for smaller teams to come to play. I think it's a money issue as well.
Yeah.
So I think there's multiple factors where they just want to ultimately have the control and just focus on their own product.
The testing thing, though, it doesn't pass the smell test to me, because you can come out with the standard and a requirement, and if BYU or some other team doesn't meet it, then you don't play the game. But some of these teams can meet that criteria. You think about Ohio State and Oregon. That was a marquee game,
yeah,
that people would have talked about all season long, and you throw that out the window, and who knows? Maybe by the time that game's ready to be played, Columbus, Ohio has things under control, and it's safe for Ohio State to play that football game. But that's out the window, and you know that Ohio State could have met any testing requirements that would have been mandated to play that game. And so I struggle with that. The flexing the games to different weeks in the schedule, I get that, but I still think the easiest solution, Mitch, would have been to just say any game is subject to cancel based on what's happening, and some games will get played and some might not. Yep. But having any games played is better than none.
Completely agree, and I think that's why some of the Power 5 commissioners from the SEC and Big 12 were probably, according to some reports, upset with the Big 10's decision to just
right.
come out of nowhere and announce that they were going to conference only. And this could be, Matt, just where it's just kicking the can down the field to see, you know, if a football season is going to happen. And we might be talking about just a spring season. I think that's ludicrous.
Me too.
I don't think a spring season is doable at all. When people throw that out there, I think, are you kidding me? You're going to have players potentially play upwards of 24 to 30 games in a calendar year in a 10-month span. And how do you handle eligibility? How do you handle scholarships? How do you handle all the personnel on a roster? I mean, you have to make all these waiver exceptions and
pay
transfers.
The players if you do that.
It's
because
not
at
doable.
That point, they're not student athletes. I mean, that's already a gray line, but that is just a slap in the face to student athletes.
No question. And the thing is, too, is that the NFL, amidst all this, the NFL is still probably going to play. Like, the NFL is looking at everyone saying, we're just going to do our thing, and we're going to make this thing happen. Now, I know it's easier with 32 teams compared to 130 different entities, but still, it's frustrating to see that the pro sports probably going to pull it off, and college, who knows what's going to happen here.
We got to take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll be joined by Dave McCann here from KSL TV5. We'll get his reaction on the cancellation of the rivalry game and much more. So stay with us here. News, traffic, and weather next. We'll be back after this.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, and it's always powered by KSLSports.com. We got to get out to the phone line and welcome in our next guest to the program. And, you know, life has been tough these days for everyone, and the news is crazy. And the man that's been holding it down on the news desk this week on a tough week, Dave McCann of KSL 5 TV and BYU TV, joins us now here on the program to talk some BYU football. Dave, welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday.
Hey, it's a great day. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, it's always good to be with you, Dave. And, you know, college football, it's shifting to a conference-only schedule. It appears Big Ten, Pac-12, they're making the decision to play their own league, and BYU's left now without five games on the college football season. What is BYU going to do to navigate this, you think, Dave?
Well, I think this is the start of – this is just the start. You know, right now the focus is on teams that are losing games, like BYU and Hawaii and a bunch of others. But the truth is, if we don't get COVID under control, there's not going to be any games. And I think right now it's not under control. So I would think that in a couple of weeks when the SEC and Big 12 say they're going to make their decision, if it's based on stats from today, they're going to do what the Pac-12 and Big 10 are doing. And then a few weeks later, they're going to go, there's no way we can play football. We can't even tackle. And we've been on throughout the summer. We've had more optimistic days, but I think this is just I'm an optimistic guy, but this appears to be the beginning of the end. If it's not safe to play non-conference games, it can't be safe to play conference games.
Yeah, that's a great point. I totally agree with you, Dave. And let's try and remain optimistic here. let's say it does get under control, Dave. And what do you think is a likely path for BYU to play football this season if things improve?
If things improve, I think then BYU plays and they get a full schedule.
Really? Partner, full schedule?
I do, and it won't be this schedule, but it'll be a full schedule. The best TV partner in sports is ESPN. And, you know, BYU hasn't had really to look at ESPN and say, we need you. But they are right now. If they get to play games, then ESPN can help pull games together. And if some of the other Power 5 conferences are going to play a full slate, like the SEC said last night they plan to play a full slate, but that could change in the next week or two, then some of those teams are going to need games, including right at the top with Alabama. Notre Dame's going to need games. So I think if we get it under control, maybe if we mask up and the country masks up and we make some progress here, we'll get five more games. They just won't be the five we thought they were going to be because those leagues decided not to play anyone on the outside.
That would be really nice.
If ESPN wasn't our partner, I'd say we are
toast.
We're in big, big trouble. But hey, they are our partner, and this will be the time to find out just how valuable your partner is.
KSL 5 TV's Dave McCann on with us here for a few more moments. And you know, Dave, if we do though get to a point where college football is potentially canceled, we've seen athletic departments cut teams in other parts of the country, including Stanford this week. You know, could BYU survive a year without football and come out on the other end still doing okay as an athletic department, you think?
BYU is in a unique place because they operate in the black, unlike most athletic departments, and they have a rainy day fund. If there's any school that could withstand a year off, so to speak, it would be those schools that work underneath their budget and have money in the bank, and I think BYU is safe. I think they knew when they went independent that there'd be challenging times. Nobody saw this coming.
Yeah.
But, I don't think they're going to close up. You know, when Stanford dropped 11 of their sports the other day, they were carrying 36. Most schools, including BYU, are at 21. So they dropped 11, and they still have five or six more than most of the schools. And everyone thought, oh, the sky's falling because Stanford dropped 11 sports. And you hate to see sports drop. But they had – why'd they always win the Sears Cup? They had 36 sports out there getting points. Now they come back down, and all of a sudden BYU's got a legitimate shot at that thing. But I think it's just such an unprecedented time.
Yeah.
And the only reason that these leagues are talking about playing conference games is money. The only reason that Major League Baseball wants to jam 60 games in all these days is money. And professionals are about money. College guys are not about money. And the thing is, at some point, the schools have to decide, are we putting the kids at risk for money? Because we're talking about not having fans in the stands, or just a few. We're talking about not playing Ohio State and Oregon. We're just going to play conference games. Then pretty soon you're going, why are we even doing this? Is it to make money at the expense of the student athlete in dealing with COVID? And at some point the schools are going to go, let's just stop. This is not who we are. And the fans like us, you know, we just had a punch in the stomach every single day with this COVID stuff, and the hits just keep coming. And I don't think they're done. But I sure wish they were. It's just there's no playbook here. And the people who think COVID isn't a big deal, everyone has their opinion. Some people don't like to wear masks and all this stuff. But we keep losing stuff. We don't gain things. And so I would just say, let's just do what the health guys say to do, because these other alternatives haven't brought anything back that we love. And what we really want to do is keep the people we love healthy and safe. And eventually, when the college presidents have to stare at that glaring question, as opposed to playing Oregon State and Utah in an empty stadium on the Pac-12 network, I think they're going to go, you know what? What are we doing? Let's just come back next year.
That's well said. Last question for you, Dave. Then we'll let you get back to golfing. We know you're having a good time this afternoon. College football.
I just hit like a 10-foot putt, and we're up on Team Forsman.
There you go.
By a hole or two. So we got that going for us.
That's fantastic.
Sorry, go ahead.
No problem. College football, it's just every passing year it seems like it's getting more divided. Things don't make sense. Conferences, they're not uniform. They're not together. Is there any possibility that this could help college football maybe unite and get back on the right track where some things make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. They just can't seem to get out of their own way. I kind of thought COVID would bring the country together, and it certainly hasn't.
Yeah.
Hopefully they see this, but what I feel like it's going to do is just further the wedge between the haves and the have-nots, the P5s and the non-P5s. And you can almost see those guys going, you know, we're going to go over here and play. You guys stay over there. That's dangerous. That doesn't help independents like BYU. But, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see. Kind of like this whole COVID thing. It's like we keep hoping next week's going to be better and it's worse. But one of these days, the week's going to be better. And then there's going to be a better month and a better 2 months. And we're going to be back to full houses and pregame shows and all this stuff. It's just not right now. And that drives me nuts. And I know it drives you nuts. But we're going to have to ride this thing out. And, man, riding stuff out is no fun.
No. No, no, it's
definitely
not.
Is not.
Unless you caught a good wave and you're riding that thing out, that's fun. The COVID wave, there's no fun in the COVID.
No fun to be had on that wave.
You can follow him on Twitter at Dave McCann KSL. He's KSL 5 TV anchor Dave McCann. Dave, appreciate you joining us on the golf course, and great work on the news desk as always. And looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Guys, listen. Thank you. Your social distance. You wear a mask when you can. You don't go to work if you're sick. And you wash your hands and you pray. Those are the five things we can do to make it better.
That's Dave McCann. Thank you very much. Man, great stuff there from Dave and Mitch. We still have the texts flowing in. We appreciate it. Keep texting us, 57500. One texter. It is texter, let's see here, texter 8734. Does only conference teams keep the money inside the conference and not share it? Is this just a money decision, Mitch, that they're canceling conference games?
Yeah, I think that they just want to keep everything in house to try to get some sort of money, any sort of money that they can out of their TV partners. I mean, that's really what it is all about. And I think Dave kind of hit it on the head that maybe they're going to look at a point where and go, why are we doing this? What's the point of playing this in an empty stadium for the Pac-12 network? But right now they're trying to take any money that they can, because a lot of these athletic departments and universities, for that matter, they live paycheck to paycheck. As crazy as that sounds, with all the money that goes to these Power 5 conferences, some of them are basically paycheck to paycheck. And,
wow.
You know, and that's why if you lose one season of football, some of these athletic departments will probably lose so many of their sports. They won't lose football and men's basketball, but the other sports would go by the wayside and significantly. So that's what really is at stake here if you do not play a football season. And I think that's why these leagues are trying to find any avenue they possibly can to make it happen.
Texter 6432 says they should cancel all games until a vaccine is out. I'm not willing to see even one kid die for my amusement's sake. And that's kind of the essence of the Cougar Sports Saturday poll. We got to get to a break, but make sure you go vote in the poll. Keep the text coming. Our poll is, what is the most likely outcome for an upcoming football season? And right now, more than 50% of you by a hair think that a canceled season is going to happen. Dave McCann kind of pointed that out as well. If things don't change, we're heading that direction for a canceled season, which is disappointing to think about. But if that's what has to happen, then that's what has to happen. So we'll continue this discussion throughout the show. Got to take a break. We'll be back with more after this. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. Hour number one flying by. The main topic here is you join Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. It's college football and, of course, a couple conferences, namely the Big Ten and Pac-12. Conference-only situation, meaning BYU only has seven games now on their schedule. And we just had Dave McCann on. Great interview. Of course, if you missed that or any of the show or previous shows for that matter, because we've had great content throughout all of this pandemic, head over to kslsports.com, go to the podcast, subscribe, listen, and you can get these podcasts anywhere you listen to podcasts, to Apple Podcasts as well. But great stuff there. And he mentioned if football is played, Dave believes that BYU is going to play a full schedule. And there was some encouraging news yesterday, Mitch, in that not all the Power 5 conferences made that announcement within the same period of time. The SEC is waiting. The ACC is waiting. The Big 12 is waiting as well. So if we can get under control and those conferences want to play 12 games, then BYU would be a likely candidate to fill some of those games.
Yeah, and BYU would be more than happy to make that happen. I mean, because you see some of the players and coaches on social media, they just want to play, even if it's against Dixie State or Weber State, and that's no discredit to those programs, but you don't want to play multiple FCS games. But at this point, you're willing to make it happen. You want to do whatever it takes to have a season take place. And Texter 8488 writes in, feels like the chances of football happening at all are dwindling. What percentage do you place on the chance of any college football being played? I honestly would say about 35% right now. That's crazy. I feel weird saying that, Matt, just because I think that a couple weeks ago I was like, we're locked and loaded. Once voluntary workouts happen, it's going to be all things to go, but that just hasn't been the case.
I like that Texter 8488 framed his question in a what are the odds format, staying true to Cougar Sports Saturday here. I'm going to go higher, Mitch. I'm going to go 55% college football is still going to be played. I think one stat that still brings me hope is that there have been minimal deaths in the age group of college athletes. And so if we can get the cases under control, the government health information says that that age group is really not at risk. And so that still gives me some hope and comfort that we can play safely. But if the cases continue to increase day over day, I don't see how it happens. But I'm still holding out hope at this point. We're still 2 months away. I mean, there's still an opportunity for us as a country to reverse the trend and get this under control. And let's all cross our fingers that happens. And we're talking about hypothetical situations. You mentioned earlier you think, you know, a Mountain West pairing would make sense. That could fit because they've been hit by some of these cancellations. Well, you look at Utah State, they're losing games against Washington State and Washington. And there's some really interesting games out there on dates that BYU has, Mitch, that I think would be a really intriguing fit. One that kind of jumped out to me, and it's already happened, and I thought it was a great game a couple years ago. West Virginia has an opening on September 19th, as Maryland has canceled that game. So if the Big 12 wants to fill out their schedule, I mean, there's some obvious pairings there that would make sense.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Also, the biggest name that's impacted by the Pac-12 and Big Ten deciding to go to conference only is Alabama.
Yep.
Alabama was supposed to play USC on September 5th. Now, I don't know if BYU wants the smoke of Alabama, but hey, I want to see a game. I'd rather see BYU lose by 50 to Alabama and take that chance than no football season at all. So there's definitely some intriguing possibilities. And as Dave McCann mentioned, BYU's got a great relationship with ESPN, and it's year one of a new TV deal with the worldwide leader. And, you know, and also guys like Dave Brown who pieced together these college football schedules. There's no precedent to this. I think just if these leagues have the mentality of let's just get a season to happen.
Yep.
Who cares about strength of schedule? Yep. Who cares about the possibility of losing a game to a program like BYU? Let's just get the games off the ground and make it happen. And hopefully these cases go down with COVID-19 and people are taking things serious, that the recommendations by the CDC and the state health departments. But you know, if that can happen, we do see football. I think there's some great possibilities, but I do think the Mountain West Conference can definitely be a party that can help BYU, and I think they would be willing to. And as much as there's some bad blood between from the Mountain West Conference side of things towards BYU, I still think they see the value in playing BYU. There's no coincidence that the fact that that league has pretty much seen everyone play BYU since they've been an independent. There's only a few holdouts in Air Force and Colorado State, but everyone else has pretty much played BYU. So I think ultimately, push comes to shove, they would look at it and say, we got to play BYU if we're going to have a season this year.
Yeah, and the regional thing makes a lot of sense to me, too, because you take it like a Wyoming or an Air Force, and maybe those are situations where things are under control. I mean, Wyoming, for instance, they've got an opening, obviously, with the cancellation of that Utah game. So maybe September 19th makes sense for BYU and Wyoming. And if both of those states are kind of along the same path and it's safe and it makes sense, that's easy. It's going to be fascinating. It definitely feels doom and gloom. We're not quite yet to that point. And I would even say this, Mitch, one of our options in the poll is maybe it's an all independence thing. UConn's obviously got some holes now. Maybe you play UConn twice and cross your fingers Notre Dame slides in there. But even if it's a Dixie State and maybe you throw in like a Snow College and UConn twice, I'm still overjoyed by that. I don't understand why there is some hate and even some fans poking fun of BYU. Oh, you're going to play nobody. You're going to play nobody. It's a pandemic. We've never been through this. If you're able to safely play a season against anybody, sign me up. Because the alternative is more. We've had no sports for 4 months now, Mitch. How have we done it? Me and you are diehard sports fans. I don't know how I've done it. Even my wife said this the other day, and I could not believe it. She said, "I miss football," and I shed a tear. We love sports, and if we can have it back in any form, if that's playing UConn 4 times, I am all for it. So
yeah, I'm with you there. It was 4 months ago today when the Utah Jazz were in Oklahoma City. And Grody Gobert was diagnosed with COVID-19. And I got to say, it feels like we're experiencing deja vu again.
Yes.
With college football potentially slowly shutting down. And you just wonder, it's like, have we learned anything? I mean, because the thing is that's been frustrating is that we're hearing all this stuff about COVID-19, and it feels like we're not making any progress towards actually having more knowledge and education about it and getting anywhere closer to slowing this thing down. And it's just been frustrating, the whole thing. And so, yeah, I'm going to wear the mask. I'm going to do what I'm told to make it happen because I'm frustrated and I want to see sports happen and I don't want to see this take place. And I would argue, too, a lot of these college football players, they want to make the season happen. They want the season to take place. They want to play this fall. But, man, the powers that be, it just feels like they're we're headed towards a situation where we might be facing potentially no season. But let's keep our fingers crossed and stay optimistic and hope that we do see a college football season, because I do think that BYU can find a way to get some games with the Mountain West Conference, with the backing of ESPN, with the independents out there and FCS teams. It could work out for BYU. They can make this thing work, and it could be a real positive thing if, in fact, the season does happen.
Lots of texts coming in. We got to take a break, but keep them coming. 57500. You can tweet us as well. KSL Sports, Mitch_Harper, Biamonte Matt. We'll get to those as they come in and as we can. But on the other side, we're going to take a national look at the landscape of college football with Brett McMurphy, a college football insider over at Stadium. We'll do that after the break. Stay with us here. News, traffic, and weather up next. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday. It's the start of hour number two. KSL News Time is 1:06 p.m., and we got to get out to the phone line and welcome in our next guest to the show. We've been talking all day about the college football landscape and its shift to conference-only schedules, particularly in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and the impact it's having on BYU football in 2020. And to give us a more national perspective on this conversation, it's college football insider for Watch Stadium, Brett McMurphy. Brett, welcome on in Cougar Sports Saturday.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for joining us here today, Brett. And man, I got to start things off here. I mean, what was it that ultimately, what data or what stats ultimately led the Big Ten to decide to go to a conference-only schedule this past Thursday?
You know, it really wasn't a surprise. I think there were a lot of people around college football that thought that was going to happen. The surprise is that they decided to make the announcement this week. A lot of people, you know, were told or understood that the Big Ten would make that announcement next week, and the hope was that possibly the Power Five leagues could come out together with an announcement on what their plans were for the fall next week. And so a lot of people are left scratching their head on why that all of a sudden the sense of urgency by the Big Ten to make this announcement earlier than they had planned. I mean, there's really, all the people I talked to, there's no real advantage to doing this. You don't gain any competitive advantage. It's not, they're still wondering why. And then obviously, you know, last night the Pac-12 followed suit and went conference only. So I think what it does do in a bigger picture is it boxes in the remaining Power Five schools to do conference only also, or maybe a conference only with a plus one non-conference game, because you've got some longstanding in-state rivalries between SEC and ACC schools. There's four of them, and those schools want to maintain those. And then obviously if you've got all the Power Fives doing conference only, then the group of five likely would do the same, because, you know, on the group of five level, the non-conference games against the Power Five opponents, you know, are big money days. And so now that those are canceled financially, I don't know if it makes sense, you know, to play a, you know, to try to play 12 games at the group of five level, because you're not going to have the TV money that the Power Leagues have. And certainly with the stadiums, you know, looking like they maximum maybe fourth full or third full based on COVID regulations. You know, financially, I'm not sure if that's worth it either. So it may look like, you know, everybody will do conference-only formats, which, of course, is why I'm on here talking to you. What in the world happens with BYU?
Yeah, what does happen to – we'll throw – I mean, Notre Dame's obviously on another level from BYU, but – with the independents, Notre Dame and BYU, where does that leave them?
Well, Notre Dame, real quickly, they John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, told me, you know, last month, you know, I said, if everyone goes conference only, will you take care of Notre Dame? And he basically said, look, we will provide them as many games as they need. So at least for this year, you can consider Notre Dame an ACC member. So they'll get their games from the ACC. For BYU, you know, I've, you know, envy the job Tom Holmoe's done, and also, you know, send a prayer his way, because he's got to have one of the toughest jobs in America right now. From what I've gathered from talking to different people throughout college football, you know, it would appear that the independents minus Notre Dame would, you know, basically schedule themselves, and that may be home and homes against some of these teams. You know, it's either that or play teams at the FCS level, but I'm not so sure how many teams at the FCS level will play. And the challenge of that is, if you're playing somebody at the FCS level, you're going to have to pay them to come to your place. And with finances, you know, so much up in the air right now, I don't know if that's realistic or not. You know, the other thing is, with the Power Five conferences, you know, they still don't know, are they going to go with 10 games, all conference games? Are they going to, the Pac-12 and Big Ten going to stick with just 9 conference games like they've had in the past? The SEC and ACC, they only play 8. Are they going to stay at 8, or are they going to go up to 9? You know, so with the independents, you know, they could call their own shots. They could play 6 games. They could play 8. They could play 10. I mean, heck, if they could get it in, they could play 12. But that's going to be a real challenge for those guys. And I know from talking to people in the group of five conferences right now, they're kind of waiting to see what happens everywhere else before making their decisions. But I don't think I don't think anybody in the country is going to play 12 games. And then one thing specific to BYU and the other independents, which I'm not a lawyer, but certainly I'll play one now for the next few seconds. I don't know what happens if a conference says they're not going to play any non-conference games and they cancel those, but then they reschedule games on different dates and say, for instance, they, you know, Utah, Michigan State, Arizona State, Minnesota, Stanford, all the teams that drop BYU. If they play a conference game on the date that they were scheduled to play BYU, will they then be held responsible for paying that buyout for not playing that game against BYU? I'm certain what I've been told, the Power Five leagues believe that, well, no, the conference canceled all these games. As a conference, there's nothing we can do about it. And so now we're trying to adjust our schedule best we can. And then I've also heard from the non-Power Five folks saying, well, if that happens, you know, they would be opening themselves up to lawsuits. And the Power Five folks I've talked to countered with, okay, go ahead and sue us for that $1 or $2 million you're supposed to get and see if you ever get a Power Five opponent again. So that's kind of where we're at. I probably didn't answer any of your questions, probably just made it more confusing. But that's how it is right now. You ask a great question, and I answer it, and I have 20 more questions for myself. So just imagine what these folks are going through now trying to figure all this out.
Well, and that's the thing. We're talking with Brett McMurphy here on Cougar Sports Saturday, KSL News Radio. You know, Brett, I mean, college football, it's just so disjointed. It feels like there's no leadership. I mean, is this sport going to be forever changed from this pandemic? I mean, 2020, regardless of what happens this year, is college football just going to be different from going forward than what we've always known to this point?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's, you know, I hate to think what it's going to look like, because you just look all across the country and you've seen a number of Group of Five programs that have eliminated non-revenue sports so far. You saw Stanford recently, the first Power Five school, eliminate 11 sports. And look, that's just based on not having an NCAA tournament, basketball tournaments. That's based on the impact of COVID right now. If you throw in an abbreviated football season, or God forbid, no football season at all, then you're going to see catastrophic, you know, hits by all of these schools, no matter what level, Power Five, Group Five, whatever. And I think if we don't have football in the academic 2021 year, I think some of these non-power schools ultimately could drop football or drop down to the FCS level. I mean, that's how critical it is. And that's why, you know, all of these leaders throughout college football, that's why they realize how critical and important the revenue is from these football programs to try to get in a football season somehow, some way. But will that be possible? We still don't know.
One more question for you, Brett, and we really appreciate the time. You can follow him at Brett_McMurphy. I know there's still a lot of dominoes to fall, and we don't quite have – I mean, obviously we don't have all the information on what's going to happen this fall, but if you had to guess today, what is your prediction on what a schedule will look like for BYU this fall, if it's played?
Unless the non-power leagues change their thinking, which is very possible, then I think BYU is probably going to have to do home-and-homes with Army and New Mexico State and Liberty and UMass and UConn or whatever. Unless they can get some of the Utah states or some of the Mountain West teams to play them. But, you know, if you're going with a conference only format in the Mountain West, you know, they're not going to treat BYU the same way that the ACC is treating Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's a full member of the ACC in every sport but football and hockey. So they're basically taking care of one of their members. BYU is no longer a member of the Mountain West, so I don't see the Mountain West offering that same olive branch, if you will, to BYU. So if there is a season, I think BYU is going to have home and homes against some other independents, maybe get some guys from the FCS level if they're still playing, but it's going to be very challenging. But at the end of the day, I still will be surprised if we actually have a season. I just, you know, these university presidents ultimately are the ones that make these decisions. They're usually not risk takers. And, you know, this may not be a fair analogy, but it's hard for me to envision that these university presidents can wrap their mind around that it's not safe to bring back the entire student body to the campus for on-campus classes, yet it is safe to play college football. And I think ultimately that's what stops this thing. And I'm not saying that's a right or wrong answer decision by them, but either it should be safe to do both or it shouldn't be safe to do both. It's not, well, it's safe to do this, but not safe to do that. So, again, the good news is I don't think anyone wants to make any definitive decisions until August 1st as far as the remaining power leagues and group of five leagues. So, you know, you just think of how much things have changed in the last 3 weeks and think how much things can change in the next 3 weeks. And, you know, maybe things will improve around the country. We'll just have to wait and see. But certainly this year will be like any other in our lifetime as far as college football.
We'll definitely be keeping our fingers crossed for some improvement over these next 3 weeks. Well, Brett, we appreciate you spending so much time with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. He's college football insider for Stadium. Hopefully we'll talk again soon, and hopefully we're talking about an actual college football season. Thanks, Brett.
Hey, anytime. Thank you.
That was Brett McMurphy. Great insight there on what's happened nationally with college football and some specific thoughts on BYU. I thought it was interesting. Doesn't think the Mountain West is going to offer that olive branch to BYU. But as he said, I mean, at this point, a lot of this is hypothetical and still speculation. And there's still three big dominoes to fall, Mitch, that being the ACC, SEC, and Big 12.
Yeah, and it makes it sound, though, like, you know, when you hear from Brett McMurphy talking about this, that all these leagues were kind of on the same page to eventually get to this point, but it was just the timing of the Big Ten when they did it. But it also helps BYU in a way to kind of game plan a little bit, because it would have been far worse for all these leagues to come out and say, August 1st, we're going to conference only, and really BYU would have been then completely done. They might be done already, and college football might be done this year already, but still, there is some time to potentially operate and have those conversations and talk to those stakeholders, as BYU announced in their statement responding to the Big Ten's decision earlier this week. So they got some opportunities to try and fill the gaps if need be.
And he also mentioned quickly before we get to a break, he also mentioned that he thinks what will end up happening if a season's played, that they'll do home and homes with you know, the UConns, the New Mexico States. Great. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
I have no issue with that. If that's what it ends up being, I'm all for it. Is it disappointing? Yeah, but you know what? I come back to this point. Nothing is more disappointing than not having sports than like what we've had for the last 4 months. So,
and nothing is more disappointing on this show than losing the top five, and that's what we got coming up next here on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Great stuff there from Brett McMurphy. Welcome back in as we continue the discussion on the college football landscape. Texter 111138, Mitch, says, olive branch from the Mountain West, ? Where did that come from? It's far more likely that the Mountain West would go conference only just to spite BYU, and I don't think that would be the case. I want to believe in my heart that these conferences aren't out to get anyone during this pandemic. I think it would just simply be everyone else is doing it, so we're going to do it too. I don't think there would be a spite in it towards BYU.
But I can understand where Cougar fans are coming from when discussing the Mountain West Conference, because let's face it, Craig Thompson and the Mountain West, they've done things in the past that have clearly been out to hurt BYU, whether it means going to the independent ranks and also going to the WAC. I mean, they've done things that have hurt BYU in the past and have not cared about BYU. So I can understand that line of thinking. But like you said, though, I think that hopefully these teams use some common sense, and if they actually want to have a season take place, they let all that go by the wayside and just say, hey, this year let's have, you know, three or four teams in the league play BYU. I mean, there's already three Mountain West teams scheduled to play BYU in Boise State, San Diego State, and Utah State. Let those games happen. Maybe Wyoming steps in as well. Let it be. Let's just let it happen so we can have football, you know, and that's the thing that we all want to see, and we want to see it in a safe manner. We want to see and have the protocols in place, and BYU would be more than willing to make that happen. But it feels like we're trending in a direction where football might not happen at all. And that was the essence of the poll question today that we asked you on Twitter. And you can follow us at KSL Sports on Twitter. And we asked the question, what is the most likely outcome for the upcoming football season? 51% of you are saying a canceled season. 17% say BYU will play all independents. Another 17% say the Mountain West helps. And then 15% say the Big 12 SEC come calling and help BYU. There was an article this week on the heels of the Big Ten news from a Sports Illustrated blog that said the Big 12 should add BYU as a member this year. And, of course, Cougar Nation just loved that. They slurped that up. That was just like, that was just, BYU fans loved every second of that. How could you not? It makes too much sense, Matt.
Oh, I'll tell you this, though, Mitch. Let's say, because Brett says he would be stunned. That's Brett McMurphy. You can follow him, Brett_McMurphy. He's been in the college football world for a long time, connected guy. He said he'd be stunned if there was a 12-game season, but maybe everyone says, all right, 10. 10's the number. Well, guess what? The Big 12 would only play 9, right? So then maybe that makes sense to throw BYU in for 1 year. You can spin that to where it actually makes a lot of sense. And when you're talking regionally, because I think that is a component that is not being talked about enough. Because to me, regional games, like when you think about the Mountain West, if they were to go conference only, I would hope they were smart enough to say, we're going to throw BYU in there for a few games because it makes sense maybe for BYU to play Wyoming. It might make sense regionally for BYU to play Colorado State and Air Force and Boise State and Utah State and UNLV and Nevada because maybe they're all in the same situation. They're so close. There's not a lot of travel. They can keep things under control. Maybe that's a scenario you can take. But that also, I think, applies a little bit to the Big 12 where you've got the Kansas schools, the Texas schools, the Oklahoma schools. That's not a crazy far trip. And so you could spin it to say if things are going in a certain direction where they're on the same page, maybe it makes a lot of sense, Mitch.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what the Big 12 and SEC actually do.
Yeah.
You know, because those are obviously leagues in states that are primarily, when you talk about politics and governors, they're usually conservative, and they've been having a lot of spikes, though, in cases, yet they're still kind of holding off. Like Texas is having a huge spike. Florida, you know, all the Southeast, they've seen some big spikes in the numbers of cases, but they're still kind of holding off. They want to get more data in front of them and wait as long as they can. But the SEC commissioner did say today on ESPN Radio, he's like, I want to provide the opportunity for college athletics to be part of the fall, but we need to all consider our behavior to make possible what right now appears very difficult. The direct reality is not good, end quote. That was Greg Sankey from the SEC, the commissioner of that league. So it doesn't feel like there's optimism, though, Matt. I mean, that's why I feel like I hope that college football can happen, and it would be so fascinating if all these leagues just end up shutting it down, but then the independents like BYU and Liberty say, you know what, we're going to play, and BYU and Liberty just go on a 10-game or 11-game
series.
Throw
UConn in there, too, so you can just do a little round-robin every third game.
And they're the only three teams playing for a national title, and at the end of the year, BYU could be the national champion. That's what we need to see happen, Matt.
Now, hey, I am, however, whatever needs to happen for it to happen safely, I'm all for it. Texter 4063 says, what is happening to Notre Dame and the other independents? Well, Brett spelled it out perfectly. Notre Dame is basically an ACC member. Yep. If they're going to be taken care of if the ACC goes down that route. The other independents, they might have to band together and do some home-and-home situations, and if that's the case, I'm all for it. Great. Sign me up.
Got to take a time out, though. Traffic and weather coming up next, and then the top five here on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy.
fantasy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back in. It's 1:36 p.m. I'm in Murray, Utah. We're still practicing social distancing here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Matt Biamonte's in Broadcast House, and also bringing in Dallin Graff, our producer. And whenever we bring Dallin Graff in, that means one thing. It's time for the Top 5.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
You know, I got to say, this show has been great. I think it's been compelling stuff, but we definitely had maybe a little more lighter, more fun show planned before all this conference-only news break. This week, and
in the words of Dallin Graff, no doubt.
No doubt that I do say. And, you know, I decided with the top five, I'm going to try to bring a little levity, a little more positivity. So we're not doing BYU. We're going to be looking at the NBA.
Oh.
Because in case you didn't know, we're almost getting live sports back. We are so close to July 30th.
By the way, the videos coming out of the bubble are fascinating, aren't they, Mitch?
Oh, yes. I followed some Twitter account that was bubble NBA bubble life or something. I don't know what it was, but it's good stuff. It's riveting, compelling stuff. I've been enjoying it wholeheartedly.
There was a video with Tobias Harris and Boban. I never know how to say his last name correctly, but that was – I mean, there's some really funny things coming out of the bubble.
No doubt.
That's been nice.
It's a fascinating thing to watch these players as they started to arrive in Orlando this week. They'll go through the training camps, and then on the 30th – they're playing games and gearing up for the playoff run. And so during this time of uncertainty in college football, we do know that we're going to have some professional basketball played here in a little bit. And so as I anticipate the return of basketball, it got me thinking about some of my favorite players that I'm excited to see. So the top five list that I have for you and you, Mitch and Matt, today is the top five leaders in points per game this season in the NBA. Some of the best players in the NBA that we're going to – I just want to be able to talk about, get excited to see here in the next couple weeks.
All right, who's starting it off then? It seems simple enough. This is for 2020 prior to the shutdown,
yes.
What the scoring leaders were?
Exactly. Yep, that is it. Pretty simple. I believe we are – I'm not going to lie, guys. I have no idea who's supposed to start this week.
I'm going to start then. Because I'm on a losing streak, and I'm also going to guess a guy's name that I have previously forgotten with a chance to win. So I'm not going to let that happen to me again. I'm getting it out of the way early. Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, well done. I like that you remembered that on the assist leaders list a month or two ago. You choked on the name, but
I'll
yes.
never forget that as long as I live. When I'm 90 years old and I'm talking to my great grandchildren, I'm gonna tell them the story about the time that I had the player correct and I couldn't spit out his name.
What a moment! But Trae Young, 29.6 points per game. That's fourth, tied for third, I guess, in the NBA. Unfortunately, he won't be in Orlando. Atlanta Hawks were not invited to the 22 teams. In the Orlando bubble, but has had a stellar season in his second season with the Hawks, one of the young emerging stars who's been fun to watch.
You know what's so interesting about Trae Young is that doesn't he remind you a lot of Jimmer Fredette in terms of can shoot from anywhere but can't play any defense? And he's been a great success in the NBA. Isn't that interesting, Mitch?
Yeah, it really is. It's fascinating how that works. A smaller guard who can just basically pump and just shoot from everywhere, and he's a ball-dominant guy. Yeah, I think I've seen that a time or two at BYU, and I think there is a role for that somehow in the NBA. But for whatever reason, Jimmer was labeled the next J.J. Redick, and that was never going to be Jimmer for that.
No.
That's not his game at all.
Nope.
And now he's not even a member of Panathinaikos. He's now a free agent in the EuroLeague. So we'll see what ends up happening with Jimmer. But yeah, Trae Young, you had to pull that one out because like you said, it's going to forever be ingrained in your mind from that other top five that we had that was NBA themed.
All right, Mitch, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the beard. He's always traveling, but man, he can fill it up in bunches. James Harden.
I love that. He's always traveling.
He is always. Not as much. He'll be stuck in Orlando, but I'm sure we'll see plenty of traveling still from James Harden, who leads the league in points per game. 34.4 points per game. And get what?
Goodness,
you know,
gracious.
Listen, I don't necessarily enjoy watching him play per se. It's not like my favorite player to watch, but he is impressive what he does and the amount of points that he's been able to put up, especially over the last couple years and during his MVP run. He's been fantastic.
My favorite James Harden moment, I'm issuing a challenge to you and all of you who have not seen Game of Zones. There's an episode from a couple seasons ago where him and Russell Westbrook have a one-on-one battle, and the episode starts with James Harden. He's painting on this basketball court, and Westbrook comes up to him and says, "What are you doing?" And Harden responds, "Drawing fouls." And he's like painting a picture of a bird. That's all I can think about. So the traveling, the fouls, but yeah, Harden is just an unbelievable scorer.
Let me ask you guys this. Are you like me where you kind of fall in love with players when they're in college, when they play BYU and they're awesome against BYU? Because I remember James Harden against BYU in that game, and it was 2000, gosh, it was 2010.
Eight?
Charles, or maybe it's 2008. Maybe you're right, because I think it was the same day as like the Vegas Bowl when BYU played Arizona in football that day. But I remember James Harden just filling it up and going, man, you don't see college basketball players like this. And BYU had Charles Abuo's game-winning bucket taken away. But ever since that moment, though, is what I'm getting at, is like I just fell in love with watching James Harden, because I just, whenever they play BYU and these guys have big games against BYU, I tend to always kind of follow their career afterwards. And obviously Harden, it's been easy to follow because the guy's one of the best in the league.
No, not, I can't get on board with that. No, when BYU gets toasted by a great player, I wish them.
I just always kind of have this like infatuation. Like I just always go, oh yeah, BYU played that guy. Like it's always something I always kind of just think it's interesting, because you look at the list of like the NFL and the NBA. BYU's always played a lot of great schedules over the years, both football and basketball, and they've played great competition throughout those years.
Yeah, and you know, Mitch, I have to say, I'm kind of with you. There's a guy, the Liberty wide receiver, Antonio Gandy-Golden.
Yes.
That's a guy that I'm going to follow next year in the NFL.
He didn't beat BYU, though,
so
it's easier to follow him.
That is true. Didn't beat him, but he was successful against BYU, and it made me intrigued. So I feel you on that. So it's 1-1. Let's go back to Matt with a guess. What do you got?
I don't feel great about this one, but I'm going to go with Weber State's own Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah, right. Dame Dalla, number 5
Ooh.
On the list,
Ooh.
28.9 points per game, and congrats on the NBA 2K21 cover for Damian Lillard. That's a really good look for the most underrated superstar in all of sports, in my opinion. The guy that everybody forgets about, but is a true superstar, Damian Lillard. He's incredible.
NBA 2K is too hard for me, Mitch. I can't play that.
Yeah, I'm terrible at it. You know, I must say, though, with the video games, with college football potentially being canceled, I won't lie, I looked at eBay today to look at an Xbox 360 console or a PS3. I'm regretting throwing away my PS3 because, man, I feel like I need NCAA 14 back in my life to get some college football this fall. So I might have to revive that. But, yeah, I'm not good at NBA 2K. I'm not good at it at all. I tried to revive it this year with Anthony Davis on the cover, but then I realized, oh, yep, I'm not good at all. I played against someone online who I think is probably 11 years old, and he or she just beat me by 35 points. So I am not going to play this anymore and put myself through this mental beatdown that I'm going to get every single time I play online.
Wow, tough look. Tough look, guys. I don't know. I'm
quarantine
not bad
life
at
is tough. That's why I'm still sticking
There's
to Animal
too
Crossing.
Many combinations. You got the sticks. You're like doing spin moves, and I just can't keep it all together. NCAA football was easy. You picked a play. You had a couple controls, and that's what made the game great.
Exactly. You're just going deep to the playmaker. NCAA 05. You're going to Todd Watkins every single time.
Amen.
Yeah, sound like a bunch of old guys. I'm just saying. All right.
Even though I do play Animal Crossing, I'm staying a little bit hip.
Hey, that's
right?
Hip.
Am I right?
There you go. That's trendy. Mitch, back to you for a guess. What do you got?
Let's go with. Gosh.
It's getting hard.
I'm just going to say the best players. So Giannis.
Oh.
Giannis isn't there? Oh, wow. What is Giannis's average?
Nope. That was correct. That was not understanding how the name's pronounced, I think.
Dave couldn't pronounce his name, Mitch, so give him
that,
some help.
You should, yeah, it's all good. But yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 29.6 points per game. third in the NBA. Probably the MVP if it's not LeBron.
No, it's not probably Giannis. It should be LeBron James. And that's my guess. Is it LeBron James?
Tried to kind of sneak in there and get the win. I like
How about Kawhi?
Ooh, Kawhi Leonard?
Okay, now things are getting really, really interesting.
Have we got four of the top five already?
Yeah, you've got four. Wow. One left.
I feel like you just have to eliminate the Eastern Conference. I don't think there's enough talent over there. So I'm going to go. This is a crazy one. I'm going Russell Westbrook.
That was the one name I was thinking. How about Anthony Davis?
Oh, no.
All great guesses.
This is another one of those Trae Young moments. I think I got it.
All right, well, Mitch thinks he has it, but it's Matt's turn.
Let's see what you got.
I'm trying to think here. So the East, it's not anyone on Boston. I'm going to go Suns guard Devin Booker.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say, actually. Oh, okay. How about Luka Doncic?
That was a solid guess.
He's sixth. I will give you a hint. This guy, the player you're missing, is number two.
Number two?
Number two in points per game.
Who was number one?
How many points are they averaging?
James Harden was number one at 34. This guy is averaging 30.5 points per game.
What? How are we forgetting this?
I don't know.
30 points a game. I'm going to go. Oh, man. This is tough. Bradley Beal.
Oh, my gosh.
There it was.
Wow.
That was hard.
Talk about another underrated superstar in the NBA.
Get him to L.A.
People forget about Bradley Beal because the Wizards are not a good team and they haven't been for a while. But he has been excellent the last couple years without John Wall. And 30 points a game this year for a Washington team who will be in Orlando, by the way. So we will get to see a
The
fun
Wizards will be
games.
In Orlando. The players will be somewhere else, though. No Beal, no Bertans.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, the team that really, the Nets, they've signed like, what, four new players? It's a completely different team going down there.
Yeah, no doubt, including Michael Beasley and Jamal Crawford, I think this last week, as replacement players. But yeah, Bradley Beal, 30 points a game. Number two, Matt gets the win. Mitch, tough loss.
Good competition, though, I got to say.
Yes, it was.
It was good back and forth.
I want my 30 seconds. This is something new on Cougar Sports Saturday. The winner gets 30 seconds to say whatever he wants, and I just want to admonish everybody. The summer months are here, and when you're outside at the pool doing whatever, please use sunscreen. I have a brutal sunburn right now. Look at my forehead. Can you see the line? I smudged a little bit there. Mm-hmm. I made a big mistake, and I'm paying for it. So please, everyone out there who's getting sun, put on sunscreen. And you'll have a great summer. That's my little spiel for winning the top five.
Well said, Matt. Well said because as someone who was just down south in Vegas and St. George, I would say recommend that as well because I applied the sunscreen but didn't let it sit for enough time.
Uh-oh.
So then I got in the pool and it just washed off completely and now I'm fried. So so I'm with you there, Matt. We can. Even though we're social distance, I can feel that burn in spirit right now.
That's funny. All right, I guess Dave, even though he doesn't know how to pronounce or read the name Giannis, wants to play some music.
This is for you, Mitch. It's still good.
All right. Well, thanks, Dallin. I guess we better get to a break, huh? Great stuff on the top five. We'll take a break. Be back after this. Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper. A little brief break there as we took a moment away from college football, but we're bringing it back to college football because that is the lead story we talked about in the lead off, and it is the dominant sports story right now in unprecedented times. We're seeing things happen that just don't happen. I mean, Mitch, you put this out on Twitter, and I think it was in one of your articles on KSLSports.com. BYU-Utah game canceled, and there's only been, what, three other times, I think, of that it's been canceled. One was the Michigan series, and what was the other time? I mean, it so suddenly happens.
Yeah, since 1922, the BYU-Utah rivalry has only had stoppages for the silly Michigan series, where Chris Hill, the athletic director at Utah, felt, oh, we can't play Michigan and BYU. That just would be a tragedy. Can't do that, right? And then the other time was World War II, a lot more noble cause.
Yes.
And then COVID-19. That's it. That is it. That's the only times that there's been stoppages in the BYU-Utah rivalry. But I got to say, though, Matt, you know, I kind of, you know, getting after Chris Hill, Dr. Chris Hill, the former AD back then in 2014. But that's been different. It's a different tone with Mark Harlan at Utah because Harlan has been more willing to want to play the BYU-Utah rivalry. He even put out a statement yesterday saying that he supports the Pac-12's decision, but at the same time, he basically misses, just paraphrasing here, he misses the opportunity to play BYU in all the fall sports. And keep that in mind, too. The Pac-12 announced that all their fall sports are going to conference only, so women's soccer for BYU, a powerhouse in the fall season, they're losing games in the Pac-12 as well. Women's volleyball, they're losing games as well. So all the BYU Olympic sports in the fall plus football are impacted by the Pac-12's decision to go to a conference-only model, and it's a tough time. And man, I got to say, those Olympic sports, I just wonder what they're thinking right now because it's got to be hoping and praying that football happens because their sports could be gone. It just really could. And as Dave McCann pointed out in hour number one, and you can hear it on our podcast feed if you missed the interview, but you know BYU is probably a better positioned institution and athletic department than most because of their affiliation with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But still, it's not an endless stream of money that BYU has to pull from. I mean, they can navigate this without a football season and still be okay, but still, it's a tough time, and it's scary for everyone involved.
I'm glad you bring up Mark Harlan because I think there are some BYU fans out there who think Utah's, you know, out to get BYU and they don't want to help them and they're doing their own thing. But I really do believe ever since Mark Harlan took that job as the new AD at Utah that there's been a great relationship between him and Tom Homo, and that if that game could have been played, you know, if something could have been done where it's a plus one or I don't know the specifics of what went down in this decision, but you can tell that he is really contrite towards canceling that BYU game. And I think it's important to note because it means that there is a healthy relationship there between those two schools. And if there was a way to get it played, it would be played.
Yeah. And it's been further evidence with Harlan and his commitment to the game by, you know, even though they're taking a break coming up in 2022 for the Florida series, Harlan then re-upped with a new set of games from 2024 to 2027. So there's definitely a commitment to BYU and Utah playing. And you know, Harlan is made that pretty clear that he really enjoys the BYU-Utah rivalry, even though you see on social media Utah fans, pockets of them are kind of celebrating to an extent, but it's like you might not even see a season. So let's not just celebrate completely yet. Like hopefully it would have been better to see a BYU-Utah game than nothing at all. But, you know, it's an unfortunate deal, Matt, because we're now getting to all of these dubious stats that this is the first time since this. And I hate that kind of conversation because totally. Really we are just in – it's cliche, but we're in unprecedented times. And hopefully these cases can go down between now and August 1st. And we can see a little bit of a dip in the numbers and continued to decrease in the deaths. That has been a positive as of late, that the death count has went down. And that's something I think that is a positive trajectory, but the cases continue to spike and hopefully that number can go down and maybe that gives a different outlook on college football because, yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago when we were having our last live show, I thought that, you know, college football is definitely going to happen. It's going to be altered and it's not going to be a typical season, but we're going to have college football. And in 2 weeks later, I'm feeling, I don't know if we're going to have it. That's just how things are changing rapidly with COVID-19. And I can only imagine that another 2 weeks is going to change the narrative quite a bit more. So we'll have to kind of let it play out and see. But it's still a unfortunate time right now that we're experiencing in all walks of life, and college football is no exception.
And I think what's really difficult about that particular game in terms of struggling to understand and make sense of it, one, obviously the proximity. I mean, they're so close. You'd think if football could be played, that game would make sense to be played. We've even seen on Twitter, Mitch, some Utah players echoing that sentiment that, okay, it's okay for us to travel to California, but we can't play a team right down the road. So that doesn't make sense. But from a BYU perspective, you really felt like this was potentially one of your best opportunities to break that streak because so many things were going in BYU's favor. Utah had the distractions and the offseason issues with defensive coordinator Morgan Scally. They didn't get a lot of practices, a bunch of new players. It just felt like BYU's got a real opportunity here to win that game, and now that's gone.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that you heard from Brett McMurphy in our interview with him. He's like, the SEC has members that are basically fighting to play their rivalry game against an ACC team. So example being South Carolina playing Clemson, Georgia playing Georgia Tech. They're basically fighting and clamoring to make that game happen.
Yep.
Whereas I think a little bit of the upset nature from BYU fans is that at the end of the day, like Mark Harlan loves the game and I think he respects the game, but at the end of the day, Utah as an entity is never going to fight to have BYU with them.
No.
And that didn't happen in realignment talks, and it's not happening now. And that's where I think a little bit of the frustration comes from.
And it's legit.
That's where they will never go to bat for BYU, whereas if the roles were reversed, I think it'd be a little bit different narrative, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you there. We're going to take a break here. Hour number two in the books. On the other side, we're going to talk some position previews. It's the cornerbacks, and we're going to bring on cornerback coach Gennaro Guilford right after this.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday.
Touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte here. Our position previews here on the program roll on. And this week, excited to break down the cornerback position. It has a lot of talent in that cornerback room. And joining us now is fifth-year cornerbacks coach, Gennaro Guilford. Coach Guilford, thanks for joining us on the program.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Always happy to have you on board here, coach. And how's the offseason treated you? We've been asking all the coaches how it's been. And a lot of, you know, talked about how it's been kind of business as usual, still probably busy as ever with college football being a 365-day-a-year job, but have you had chances to maybe tap into some hobbies, spend more time with family? How's it been for you away from football?
You know, a ton of family time, so that's always a good thing. Get a chance to kind of be with the kids a little bit on an everyday basis, just waking up to them, being with them throughout the day, helping them with schoolwork and stuff like that. So that's something different, and I was able to help the wife out. You know, she usually does it all day, every day. So I was able to give her a little bit of a break. So it's always a good thing.
Coach Gennaro Guilford's our guest here on KSL News Radio. And I'm going to start things off here, Coach, with breaking down the position group, the cornerbacks in 2020. Who's the next you? Because you're one of the all-time greats in BYU history at cornerback. Who's the next Gennaro Guilford in this room?
Man, you know what, coaching-wise, you always want all of them to be better than you. You know, that's always the ultimate goal, man. But we have a few guys who I'm very, very high on. You know, of course, Chris, you know, he's going to be a senior, the lone senior in our entire group. You know, then we have D'Lo, we have a JC guy coming in, Jock, Isaiah, Keenan, Micah Harper, just to kind of touch on a few. And then we have a few guys who might also show up and surprise some people as well, you know. So just kind of got to wait and see on those guys to see if they'll be in my room or not.
I want to come back to Chris. You mentioned the lone senior. He's someone who I think, you know, everyone's been high on for a long time and just been battling injuries for so long. How's his health, and is he ready to go 100% this fall?
As far as I know, his health is good, and the goal is just to try to get him to the season healthy. That's his number one goal. I told him, you know, take it slow, and I know he's still doing things in order to make sure that he's on the right path. But our number one goal is to get him into the season healthy.
If Chris is healthy, you tell me, but it sounds like he's going to be a starter. Who do you anticipate will start opposite of him against Utah in week one?
You know what? Honestly, man, how my room has been run over the last 4 years. All my guys, they'll tell you it's week to week. You know, whoever kind of shows up, they're the ones that's going to play. But you know, I have five or six guys who can show up and really play, from Chris to Isaiah to D-Lo to Keenan. I got a JC guy coming in, Jock. A freshman that's very, very seasoned. He comes from a football background. His dad played corner for many, many years. Played a little bit of pro ball. His claim to fame is picking off Ty Demery 3 times. You know, so he comes from a cornerback family, and his dad has taught him the game the correct way. So he's going to be a guy that's going to come in with the knowledge, the IQ, and the understanding of the game. So it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be some competition, and we have a pretty deep group. But at the end of the day, time will tell.
I want to get more into that deep group with you, General, player, specifically with some of these players. And let's start off with D'Angelo Mandel, who had a lot of starting experience last year and continues to progress in his career. Where do you see D'Lo continuing to improve in his game?
For him, just mentally. And he knows this. We talk about it almost every day. He needs to apply everything that he does in practice and apply it to the game. You know, there's been quite a few times where he can walk me straight through the play. He'll tell me from first, second, third, fourth thing that he needs to do. But then game reps come around, and you know, he'll just kind of forget a little bit, and that may be because of youth. You know, because I did have to throw him in the fire. You know, for the last 2 years, especially when Chris went down to in 18, he was just thrown in the fire. You know, so it was like having Troy, Dine, and Chris as a freshman all over again, because he was just thrown in the fire. He's working on those things every day, and he's the guy who loves to work. You know, he's not afraid to work. And that's always a great thing when a kid knows what he needs to do to get better, and he's actually working on it. So the sky's the limit for him, man. He can be as good as he wants to be as long as he's willing to put in the work and sacrifice a few things.
One of the guys you mentioned in that 5 or 6, Isaiah Heron, the sophomore from Nevada, recently he announced that he's coming back. What does Isaiah mean to the locker room, and what does he bring to the football field skill-wise?
You know, it's big on the locker room with him returning. You know, of course, being here for 2 years, you become brothers, family. You know, so when you lose a brother, it's always difficult. Regardless of the reason, but he decided to come back, and I think everybody will benefit from that. It'll be some lessons learned from him coming back and being able to talk to people of his reasoning of why he was leaving, the reason he came back, and all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure he'll kind of touch the details about all that stuff. But as far as a football player, he's probably one of the most talented raw corners that I have in my room. He does have a very high ceiling because he is a natural corner with length, speed, not afraid to tackle. But that's another guy that that we talk all the time about him putting in the work. If he doesn't put in the work, he's not going to progress. You know, I tell him, I mean, we can be there every day as far as coaches, but you got to do some stuff behind closed doors that's going to push you to the next level. And that's something that he really wants. He wants to be the best. So I told him, you're going to have to really, really work and work on your own, as well as working with me and the strength staff and everything like that. But as far as just plan wise, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field, especially if he works.
How do you replace a guy like Dion Gunawalaku? He's going to be fighting to make the Rams here in a few weeks, but man, he had such an impact on this program. How do you replace that? And how do you maybe carry on some of the things that he brought to your room for the past couple of years?
Man, let me say this. That's going to be – Dion is a replacement by committee. He's a natural football player that does so much, man. And we know as a staff, man, from playing – I'm talking about from playing running back, every special team, to start for me at corner for 2 years, to go to safety for his junior year, to come back with me for his senior year and start at safety and corner. He's just viable. He was a 4-year starter, so you just can't replace that just at the drop of a dime. It's going to be by committee, and guys are going to have to step up, and guys are going to have to sacrifice for a few things, because Dion sacrificed a lot, you know, on and off the field, academics, everything. I mean, Dion was one of my best dudes I've ever coached, just as far as just the kind of person he is, you know. Comes from a good family, and I wish him nothing but the best, man, but he's going to be so hard to replace.
You mentioned a lot of the guys in the room, and one individual that has been, like Chris, has been battling injuries a lot is Keenan Ellis. How has he progressed in his recovery from injuries? Did he have the chance to compete much in the limited spring ball, and where is he at in terms of health and maybe opportunities to compete in fall?
You know, he's 100% healthy. You know, he battled some academic issues. He's back now, and the limited time that he played in the spring was awesome. He looked better than he ever looked before. He was fast. He showed ball skills. He was physical. I look forward to having him on the field. He's a guy who's very, very fluid, natural as far as turning his hips, stop and go, playing the ball, playing the deep ball. He's a guy that's not gonna go up and try to bat it down. He's gonna go up and really try to catch it. And that's what I love about Keenan, man. So he's going to bring some great competition.
He's heading into his fifth year as BYU's cornerback coach. He's former BYU great General Guilford here on KSL News Radio. General, stay safe. We appreciate all the time, and good luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great stuff there from Gennaro. We got to get to a break here. We're going to continue doing these position previews so long as the 2020 season is not canceled. So on the other side, we're going to break down the cornerback room and maybe give some predictions on dark horse candidates who could sneak in with some playing time this fall. We'll be back with more here on Cougar Sports Saturday after this. Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. It's Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. Been a great show so far. If you've missed any of it, check out the podcast feed wherever you get podcasts. Dave McCann was on, Brett McMurphy, and just barely Gennaro Guilford. And we're still doing position previews, even though 5 games have been canceled, 3 from the Pac-12 and 2 from the Big Ten, doesn't mean the season is over yet. And even if, because Brett McMurphy alluded to, maybe this is the domino that affects all the conferences, that still doesn't mean that a season would be canceled for BYU. There's still scenario Dallin in which BYU could maybe get some home and homes. And I know that's not ideal, but I still maintain this point, and nothing will change my mind if it's a bunch of home and homes. And if it's just UConn and Liberty every other week, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and You know, I think about it, too, and I think about the players. You know, you think about a guy like Matt Bushman, Kyrus Tonga, guys who could have had a chance to go pro, came back, you know, for this final season, this great schedule. Now they're not going to get that, but they deserve to play something, right? They deserve to put some tape down and give themselves a shot. So any of those guys, yeah, I'm sure those players would love to play New Mexico State 8 times. If that's all they could get, they would do it. And so, you know, if it's a question of the whole season's canceled, then that's one thing. But if there's an opportunity to play, BYU will play some games, and that's why we want to continue to talk about these players.
Exactly. Mitch, from a 2-deep perspective, I kind of feel like this particular group, the cornerbacks, there's really not much to discuss, as that at least the first three, I think, are pretty dead set.
Yeah, I think that you're looking at Chris Wilcox is going to be a starter for BYU. He comes back for his redshirt senior season, and assuming that the season does play out, he's going to be one of the best cornerbacks BYU has this season. I think the other starter as of today would be D'Angelo Mandel, and I think one of the primary backups is Isaiah Heron, who comes back out of the transfer portal as a redshirt sophomore. Bright future ahead for Isaiah and his potential. And I think the fourth guy ends up being a true freshman. I think it's going to be Micah Harper. Now,
really? Over Jacques?
I think it's going to be Micah Harper because he's kind of in that Dion Gunwoluku build, that frame. I mean, even when he signed back in December out of Arizona, Kalani Sitake instantly drew comparisons to Dion Gunwoluku. And you know as well as anyone, Matt, and for listeners out there that maybe aren't as familiar with, you know, conversing with Kalani Sitake, he's not one to draw comparisons very often. He doesn't usually put the pressure on kids very much. But I thought it was notable that he said, out of the blue on his own, this might be the next Dion Gunwoluku. And it's like, okay. And then you watch the film and how Micah Harper plays, and ignore the fact that his Twitter handle seriously looks exactly like mine. I've been confused myself when I see the Micah underscore Harper. I'm like, is that me tweeting that? I'm like, what? Did I just commit to BYU? But Micah, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go on a limb and say true freshman Micah Harper is going to crack that 2-deep for BYU when, in fact, if maybe, they end up playing this season.
I'll go with the JC cornerback, Jacques Wilson,
I like
as my choice breaking the 2-deep. All right, over-unders, Dallin?
Yeah, I've got some over-unders. You know, looking back at the independence era, this position group was interesting. It's dominated, much like the tight end, which was the last position, you know, dominated by one player, and that's Dion. And even from his freshman year, his first season in 2016, all the way through his last, he was kind of the one guy, the one consistent throughout. You had, you know, Michael Davis in 2016. That was his final season. You had guys kind of in between, but really Dion was the number one guy. And I think that's the biggest question for me is now that you lose that, how do you replace that, right? So some of these over-unders, let's start here. We know that BYU had a ton of interceptions last year. A lot of those did come in the linebacker group, though not necessarily out on the edge with these corners. So over-under, a BYU cornerback gets 3 or more interceptions this season. Let's start with you, Mitch.
I'm going to say under. I'm just going to it just feels like that's an under week. For whatever reason, we haven't seen many BYU guys get a lot of interceptions in the secondary. I'm going to go with under. I just don't see that playing itself where BYU gets an over. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go push. I'm going to say Chris Wilcox gets 3. So
all right.
I just think that there is going to be a little scheme tweak, and so maybe there's an opportunity with that for the DBs to get a little more involved with breaking up passes and maybe getting some interceptions. Ironically, though, I think there has been a lot of opportunities in past years, Mitch, and they just don't catch the football.
That's true. That's a good point. And I think that, you know, last year a lot of linebackers had interceptions. But, some of these cornerbacks, when they get that paw on the ball, they got to make sure to catch that thing. But maybe it's a reason why they're at cornerback.
That sounds like an Lee Corso comment from NCAA football.
You knew exactly the reference. Yes. Good job, Matt.
Here's another Lee Corso one. If that was a hamburger, they would have caught it.
Oh, my gosh. What was that, NCAA 2003 or something?
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's why they're playing defense.
And then Brad Nessler's introducing the Lavelle Edwards Stadium, one of the most scenic stadiums in college football. I can't remember the exact wording, but
man,
bring us back the NCAA football video game. Someone, please.
Listen, if there was ever a group of advocates for that, it's this show.
Totally.
I think it's like
day
one.
About it.
Hey, proud owner of a 32-year dynasty in NCAA 2004. Thank you very much.
Hey, one question for you, though. When you would start a dynasty, would you be the coach, or would you put in the current BYU coach as that dynasty?
I would put in the current BYU coach.
Right.
I'm always that weirdo that just wants the realest thing possible. Like, I never really create myself. I just create some like young, you know, like hotshot 5-star recruit, and then import him into the game rather than create me, because I'm like, I'm not an athlete. I'm not gifted enough. Like, maybe when I was 16, 17, I was halfway decent, but now I'm nowhere near an athlete. So that's not going to be living in the fictional land.
So let's another over under here. One thing that sticks out over the last couple of years was the consistency, like I said, of Dyan, how much he played. So the question for you guys that I have is, what are over under BYU has at least one cornerback who starts every game this season, Matt? What do you think?
I'm going to go over, and I think it's going to be Chris Wilcox again. I think he's healthy, but also the number of games might be reduced. So if it's only 8 or 10 games, then I think there's a greater chance that the players stay healthy and play all the games. So I'm going over.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think that I think Chris Wilcox, and I also think D'Angelo Mandel, with limited number of spring practices, with limited opportunities in this offseason, it's just been really difficult. So you're going to go with guys that have the most experience more than ever before. And that's going to be Chris Wilcox, D'Angelo Mandel. So I'm going to say over, and I think those two guys, if healthy, they will start every game this year.
Real quick, a dark horse candidate from you guys, somebody who you think might kind of get some more playing time than expected, Matt?
Shamon Willis, for me. Played in 11 games last year, started 2. Son of Jamal Willis, great running back. I think he's a dependable guy who will see playing time.
I'm going to go with redshirt junior Keenan Ellis. Now, he's been a guy that's been kind of forgotten about because of injuries, and he had some academic issues, as you heard in that interview with Gennaro Guilford. But he's back in the program, heading into his redshirt junior year. I think he's going to be someone that's competing, and he'll be maybe that number 5 cornerback to me. But he'll be in the mix. He'll be competing for playing time. It's kind of one of those make-or-break years when you're talking about a guy that hasn't had much production up until their junior year. It's time to put up, or else you might never see the field in your career at BYU. So I think this is an important season for Keenan Ellis if the season gets played. So I would say he's my sleeper to watch this year in the cornerback room.
All right, we'll take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll get back to our Cougar Sports Saturday poll of the day. What is the most likely outcome for the upcoming football season? And you can text in as well. We've been reading text all day, 57500. Back with more after news, traffic, and weather.
Sports Saturday. Touchdown! Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for 3! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Hour number 3 rolling along. Big thanks to all of our guests today. Dave McCann of KSL 5 TV. Brett McMurphy, college football insider from Watch Stadium. And also Gennaro Guilford, BYU cornerbacks coach. If you missed any of those interviews, go to our podcast feed on KSLSports.com. Subscribe, leave a rating and a review. Helps out the show a ton. So big topic today has definitely been the conference-only landscape that we're seeing the shift go to in college football and where BYU fits in all of it. And we asked you the question, what's the outcome? What's the likely outcome going to be for college football this season and BYU football? 50% of you in the votes, you can keep voting it on Twitter at KSL Sports, 50% of you are saying a canceled season. Are you in agreement with them, Matt? Are you thinking it's going to be canceled?
Yeah, I think it's going to be canceled right now. just based on the trajectory of what's going to happen. But I think the silver lining in all of this is there's still time. And if everyone in America can mask up and take the necessary precautions, social distance, wash your hands, all things we've been hearing for months and months and months, there's still ample time to reverse the upward trend that we've seen these last, week or two. You know, it's probably been a couple more weeks than that, but there's still time to reverse that. And then that would allow, you know, maybe only a couple weeks are canceled and then we can resume mid-September. There's still time. And so that gives me some hope, but I just haven't seen any positive trends in so long that I have a hard time seeing it happening right now.
Yeah, time is definitely running out, and hopefully, you know, college football can take place because, you know, right now BYU still got 7 games on the schedule for 2020. The first scheduled game is October 2nd. The first 4 games have been wiped out because of the Big Ten and Pac-12 announcing they're going to a conference-only schedule. And BYU being an independent, Matt, in this situation where they're not like Notre Dame and they don't have the ACC connection to fall back on, BYU is kind of in this no-man's land where they're a far greater program than the likes of Liberty, you know, UConn, New Mexico State, even Army. But at the same time, like, they're not nowhere near the stature of a Notre Dame. So they're like in this in-between where the Power Fives like playing them in one-off situations, but they don't want to be married to them. So it begs the question, Matt, I mean, is this going to be an indictment, you think, on independence where BYU has a harsh reality of looking at going back to a Group of Five league in the future? Or do you think that they end up just staying the course despite this pandemic, whether there's a season or not? What do you think is going to happen with independence going forward?
I think it will be an indictment, but I don't think it should be, Mitch, because this is a pandemic. It can't be planned for. If this didn't happen, everyone would be saying, what an amazing schedule. You got Missouri coming October. You're going to Palo Alto to play Stanford in November. You've got Michigan State and Minnesota and Arizona State on the schedule. I mean, if the pandemic wasn't there, would anyone say anything negative about the schedule? No. Everyone would be praising Tom Holmoe and BYU for playing this incredibly difficult and well-balanced schedule. And so I'm not going to blame the pandemic and say independence isn't viable because of the pandemic hit. I think this is a terrible circumstance that, unfortunately, it hits independent teams hardest. But I don't think that means independence hasn't been working or that it can't work. It just, in this type of situation, of course it's not going to work and it's going to make things harder.
Yeah, the worst outcome for BYU would be that all the conferences go to conference only, and the independent programs that I mentioned, New Mexico State, UConn, Liberty, they don't look at this, UMass, they don't look at this as a, you know, playing the independents only. They don't look at it and say that's financially worthwhile. Because remember, a lot of those programs are on the East Coast. So you're talking about cross-country travel for games between BYU and Liberty. Like, Liberty, I think, would throw down the money because they got a lot of financial resources as them being a faith-based institution as well. So I think they're committed to doing it if need be. But UMass, UConn, I just struggle to picture those schools looking at, you know, cross-country travel between BYU and their hometowns as being worthwhile for a season that will ultimately mean nothing because they don't have many TV dollars hitched to their programs. BYU's TV situation isn't great terms of financially, but it's just I think BYU wants to have a season take place. They don't want to have a whole year that goes by the wayside and everyone else in college football that's in a league is playing. That would just be bad optics for BYU. So I almost think that the poll that we had on our Twitter account, it's fans are thinking it's going to be canceled, but I think they're also hoping because that might be the only way that BYU gets excused from a potential situation where they're playing no games at all.
I will say this. If there's ever a year for Notre Dame to do the right thing and honor the contract, it is this year. Just because the ACC will help you out doesn't mean you have to go to them to fill all the games. They can fit BYU in, and they should fit BYU in if college football is played. And that resolves one of their open spots, and then they can use the ACC to fill the rest. But they should and absolutely need to give BYU that game. And I don't care if it's in Provo. though it can't be in South Bend. It's either Provo or neutral, but that game needs to be played this season, Mitch, if college football is played. Because Notre Dame, they need – it's not even a, oh, we need to do you a favor. They signed a contract. That game needs to be played, and now is a better time than ever to play that game.
That's a great point because, you know, thinking about that Notre Dame series, remember it was originally back in 2010 a six-game series. It's now been consolidated down to three games, but also within that contract, the games had to be played by the year 2020. And it's been BYU's kind of been open-ended with that, allowing Notre Dame the time necessary because in between since 2010 to now, Notre Dame's been affiliated with the ACC where they play five or six games a year with that conference, and that's why we haven't seen the game played. And I think also, too, Matt, the issue is that Notre Dame just flat out doesn't want to play in Provo, and they want the game to potentially turn into a Shamrock Series game where they control the tickets, they control the revenue, and it's their TV partner. So play it in Vegas as a Shamrock Series game, and it's an NBC game, and they're getting all the revenue. It's like, no, BYU deserves the revenue.
Yep.
BYU deserves the primary share of the ticket sales. I mean, you play that thing in Vegas, and BYU fans will pack the house for a BYU-Notre Dame game. I mean, assuming that they could actually show up. And, you know, in a normal situation in college football without a pandemic, BYU fans would pack it. But in a pandemic, I don't know what that looks like. But, yeah, Notre Dame and BYU, if a season happens, Notre Dame should definitely fulfill that game because it's a joke that BYU's had to wait this long for the Irish to even, you know, consider it. It's almost feeling like Notre Dame's just kind of wanted it to be dangling out there still. And for BYU, it's like, we'll either get paid because they're not fulfilling the contract or play the actual game. So hopefully, if we do see college football, Notre Dame just mans up and actually plays this game, and they play it preferably out in Provo.
Yeah, and you mentioned Vegas. That would be a great place for that game to be played if they don't want to play in Provo. And if it's a no-fans thing, I'm all for that. You know what? There is a game. We talked about this in the first segment. Go back and listen if you want to on the podcast feed. So many games have been impacted by this. There is one game. It's not against a great opponent, but it does interest me tremendously. And that is UNLV has a vacancy in their opening game. Cal was going to visit a new Allegiant Stadium. That's gone. That's canceled. That would be a sweet opening kickoff game. Now, I know it's not the opponent you want, and of course Alabama would be much better because they have a vacancy as well, but if BYU could get UNLV in Allegiant Stadium to start the season, that would be cool, Mitch.
No doubt. And that's, again, why I feel like the Mountain West Conference needs to have some common sense here when it comes to BYU and not look at BYU as this, oh, they left us high and dry for independence. We're going to, you know, make sure to bury them even further into the ground. It's like, no, let's have some quality football games because at the end of the day, Mountain West Conference, no one's watching your product. BYU, whether they're good, whether they're bad, you're going to bring eyeballs to the TV set because, one, BYU's got a huge fan base, and, two, they got a lot of people that hate their program as well, so they bring those eyeballs to their broadcast as well. So for the Mountain West Conference, who's starting up a new TV deal with Fox Sports, I would think you would want BYU to be playing your teams because they're going to bring you extra ratings. They're going to bring viewership that you just quite frankly don't see outside of Boise State. That's the only program in that league that still gets viewership. Everyone else, they're pretty much playing on Facebook these days. So if you're the Mountain West Conference, just kind of look past the whole what happened 10 years ago. I mean, that's almost ancient history now, what happened 10 years ago. Look ahead to the future and try to get a football season to happen amid a pandemic. It makes too much sense for these programs to not align themselves for at least 1 year and make this thing happen because regionally you can limit the travel, you can kind of keep it in check, and you can just follow the protocols necessary and kind of have a joint agreement to where you're all adhering to the same rules and regulations to make sure players are safe amid this pandemic. So it just makes too much sense, especially with the Pac-12 going to that conference-only slate and how many games in the Mountain West Conference were impacted by that decision. BYU and the Mountain West should join up and join forces this year to make a schedule happen.
And I'm looking at the vacancies, and I can come to a 12-game schedule pretty easily here. You start out at UNLV. In the second week, New Mexico got their game dumped by USC. You play New Mexico. Week three, maybe you can squeeze in, maybe you move that Utah State game because they've got some vacancies with Washington and Washington State. So maybe you squeeze that in. You can probably get Hawaii in there somewhere as well and then throw in a UConn or Liberty and boom, you're at 12.
Yeah. I mean, and there's great storylines. I mean, look, I'm not going to be an advocate for BYU to ever go back to the Mountain West Conference.
Me neither.
There's a ton of history there. I mean, you can't ignore that. I mean, the history between BYU and those teams in the Mountain West Conference, there's a great games that have been played. There's great storylines to be had. And as a viewer and someone who loves college football, I'm in. I'm down for that. Yeah, I'd rather see BYU play Michigan State and play Minnesota. But in this situation, sign me up for a Mountain West Conference schedule. I just want football, dang
yep.
it. I'll take BYU and Dixie State a couple times.
Yeah,
I don't
same.
Care at this point. I just want BYU to play. Because the thing is, Matt, is that this BYU football program, it felt like they've invested so much in youth, so much in the ups and downs that come with one playing the youth and also having an inexperienced coaching staff, that now you're to the point of the Kalani Sitake regime and a new contract extension that you need to start seeing a payoff. And it's just like you're just derailing any sort of progress. And I know it happens everywhere in the country where we might not see college football, but dang it, I want to see what this team can be. Regardless of who the opponent is, I just want to see what they're potentially capable of. And I think the Mountain West would be a good barometer to kind of mesh, see where they stack up and see if they can actually, you know, dominate those teams like yesteryear back in the day when they were in the heyday. So
yep.
I think it would be a great situation for all parties involved if the Mountain West and BYU came to some sort of agreement and made that happen.
I'm with you. I don't want to go back to the Mountain West, but I wouldn't be opposed to a five-game kind of, you know, Notre Dame situation in the Mountain West. Because you look at the schedule, I left out Wyoming. Right now you can go UNLV, New Mexico, Wyoming, 1-2-3. They all have vacancies in those weeks, and boom, you're at 10 games. So it's like, I'm with you. I would totally be down for that.
And if it was something where the Mountain West Conference said, hey, if we're going to do this, we need to have it maybe for multiple years. Okay, let's do that.
Because, totally.
I mean, even though BYU's not desperate for games anymore, like, BYU with scheduling, it's gone very well. Like, I remember 10 years ago, the narrative nationally was, how are they going to get games? And now that's not even a thought. Like, BYU gets great games throughout the entire calendar year. I mean, it's the issue still is November, which is a problem because you don't want to see liberties all the time. But that's now improving, too. This year's November slate was awesome.
It was awesome.
With Boise State and Stanford. And it just, this was truly, you were starting to see the payoffs of all the long grind of independence. It was coming with this schedule. And then it just gets blown up in 2 days. And that's what's so frustrating about this whole ordeal. And I think everyone understands where we're at as a society and with the global pandemic. But dang it, I mean, I want to see what this team could potentially be. And hopefully the Mountain West and BYU can make something happen.
One more segment to go. We'll wrap up this discussion and check in on the poll of the day after this break. Stay with us here. One more to go. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. It's been a great show so far, even amidst the devastating news that happened earlier in the week with Big Ten and Pac-12 going conference only. I mean, obviously, that has an enormous impact on BYU's schedule. And it's going to be really curious to see, Mitch, what happens between now and BYU Media Day, which is 9 days away, I believe. So we're going to get some clarity soon, hopefully. But I still maintain this point, and we talked about this a lot, and we're going to probably keep bringing this up for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. I don't care at this point who BYU plays. If we can play football, I'm down to play anybody, anywhere, anytime. If that's everyone in the state of Utah twice, you know, Utah State, Weber, Dixie, fantastic. I'd be all for it.
Yeah. And as long as it's safe and the student athletes are safe, great. Let's make it happen. I just do not want to see a situation where college football is potentially played in the Power Fives in a conference-only setting, and BYU is one of the only teams not playing because they're independent.
Totally.
And that would be – that would, the optics of that would be very difficult. And I think if you just look at it objectively, you would realize, hey, it's a pandemic. This, you could never have seen this coming. I mean, what? The last time college football was impacted by a pandemic was – 1918, the Spanish flu. I mean, it's been over 100 years. This is just so unprecedented. We haven't seen this before to this extent. So, but it would still, the optics of that, if that worst case scenario happened, it would look bad on BYU. And that's why when you heard Brett McMurphy earlier on the show, he's like, you know, Tom Holmes done a great job, but man, he's got it stacked up against him to try and make this happen with a schedule, because you know, that from his perspective at the national scene, you know, he doesn't see a Mountain West Conference extending a helping hand to BYU. But to me, I look at it and just think that that's an angle that benefits both entities and gives each other quality games that otherwise they wouldn't have. I mean, BYU, say what you will, it's a quality team to play on your schedule. They're not what they once were. There's no doubt about that. I mean, BYU football the last few years is just kind of a mediocre product, and that's coming from the players on the current team. I mean, Matt Bushman just came on our show and said, we've been mediocre, and we got to change that. So, but they're still one of the 10 winningest programs over the last 50 years, and you're telling me that the Mountain West would turn that down amid a pandemic? You can't say that's smart business decision by the Mountain West Conference. So I think that it would make a lot of sense if they teamed up, and, you know, if it was just five or six games, great. That works out for everyone involved, I think, and BYU could maybe find another three or four games against FCS teams, and they call it a day and try to navigate the season at that point. I hope that we get a season, because that media day coming up is going to be really interesting to see what the conversation ends up being, because, you know, how much is going to change between now and July 20th. It'll be really interesting to see how it all changes.
Let's end with this. I'm amazed we haven't got to this yet, but I think it's a fascinating conversation to have, and that is, Mitch, what is your hope and dream for college football in the future based on what happens this season?
I honestly think, Matt, that we got to see a separation from Power Five and Group of Five. We got to quit the fairy tale that this is the same playing field. You know, the Group of Five has no voice. They're waiting on everything the Power Five does. Let's just create a separate division already. Let's just move on. Let's remove the Band-Aid and let the Power Five programs move forward. And hopefully, somehow, some way, I don't know how, Matt, but somehow BYU gets in that mix. I don't know what that looks like. BYU, Boise State, UCF, Houston, I think they would all deserve a seat at that table as maybe independents in this Power Five role. But I also think, too, Matt, that if you have this separation, you need to have like a commissioner that oversees all these just pointless leagues, because really the concept of conferences has become just lame. They're not on the same page. They all do their own things. Like, let's just all get on the same page and make college football better than ever before, because the sport is so disjointed right now, and no one, I think, even though we got a playoff in college football, it's like there's still questions about the true validity of determining a champion. Like, that's still a thing, and it's been 150 years of the sport, and we're still questioning the integrity behind champions, and it's going to be questioned this year if a season actually happens. So I want to see a break off. I want to see 70 or so teams just break off, form their own division, and have one ruling commissioner oversee the whole dang thing.
Short term, I would love to see the SEC and the Big 12 throw kind of a bone to BYU and maybe give them a couple games. And I would hope that that willingness to cooperate and play games and hopefully, you know, compete with them would signal to those conferences and other conferences that BYU belongs in this group and would be a good and willing partner long term. I'm with you. Break the whole structure down. It is ridiculous. It's been ridiculous for years. When you think about it, the Big 12 has 10 teams. The Big 10 has, what, 14 teams?
Yeah.
Nothing makes any sense. We got to be on the same page. And I think the right page to be on, and this is what I really hope for down the road, I think the right place to be is, if it's an upper division or it's Power Five, every team needs to have the same amount of, or every conference needs to have the same amount of teams. And to me, that number is 14. And you would have to add, I think it's six teams. I'd have to do some more math on the ACC and SEC. But that would allow Boise State, BYU, Houston, UCF. I mean, there'd be plenty of room to get them in and to have uniformity across this upper division or Power Five conference, however you want to call it. And then you can go from there. But there's no continuity here, and it makes no sense. So I'm hoping all of this just kind of breaks that down and opens it up for, hey guys, we all need to be on the same page here. We need to be playing the same number of conference games. We need to be playing the same number of Power Five opponents on the schedule. I mean, I'd love to see that be at least one, preferably two, big non-conference games, and maybe there's room for one or two lower division games to help them out as well. But it all needs to be reworked because this is showing more than ever that nobody knows what they're doing. It's a giant mess. None of it makes any sense, and I hope that there's major reform. And reform might not be enough, Mitch. Maybe you need to blow the whole thing up and start over.
Yeah, college football is a sport that so many people love, yet there's just all these old line of thinking and trying to stay attached to conference. There's got to be a visionary, someone that's got a bigger vision for college football because it's such a great product.
Yep.
But it's so tainted behind things that just don't make sense. Like, let's just bring uniformity to the sport. There's this fear that, oh, it'll take away from the bowl games. It'll take away from the regular season. Well, folks, we might not have any of that this year. So we have to evolve and make sure that, you know, if there is a pandemic one day again down the road, that there's a better operation and better procedures in place to make college football actually have some leadership. The fact that we're, you know, less than 60 days away till week one, and there's still just this kind of lack of clarity as to what the season will look like this year, it's concerning. And it just highlights how college football has no leadership, and it highlights, too, that, you know, BYU is an independent. They're truly one of a kind, how they're the only entity in the sport that's trying to operate on their own and play a high-level brand of football. They're operating at a far different level than Army and Liberty and UMass. And, you know, credit to BYU for still trying to make this happen, and they're still making it work despite all the challenges that are in front of them. And I look forward to the day that we see BYU football play again, and I hope and pray, Matt, that we see it this fall, because right now it just – the outlook is very tough to get positive about what's transpired over the last few days.
Great stuff. You can find us on the podcast feed. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.